Welcome to a Single Serving Podcast. I'm your host, Shaney Silver. I started this podcast because whenever I saw content for single women, it was about dating, how to date better, how to survive dating, and I know that we deserve more than that. So I created this podcast to change the way being single is seen, discussed, and felt, and I'm so happy to have you here with me. I hope you'll also consider joining the Facebook group for this podcast. It's become a really supportive community full of people sharing stories and encouraging one another and actually meeting up in real life too. There are three main ways that you can support this podcast. The first is simply share it. Share it with someone who needs to hear it, share it with your family, share it with your friends, anybody who could use a change in perspective when it comes to being single. The second way is you can rate and review this podcast on iTunes. It takes 2 seconds and it's a huge deal that really helps podcasters get more visibility and continue to do their work. And then the third way is you can become a patron of mine on Patreon. Patreon is a platform that helps independent creators earn money for creating the work that people enjoy. So there are multiple tiers that you can join, but my favorite one is a $5 tier that comes with an extra bonus episode of this podcast every single month. So there will be a link to it below. Check it out. And in the meantime, thank you so much for joining me. Sometimes I plan out my introductions for you like the meticulous type A that I am, and sometimes I just play it fast and loose and press record and start talking to you because I'm happy to be speaking with you and I figure that something will come out. And that's essentially what's happening here. Hi, lovely podcasty people. How are you? I am thrilled to share this week's episode with you. It is one of the most fun conversations I've had in a long time, and I just happened to be recording it. So it's going to be really fun, and I hope you enjoy it. My guest is Femi Olafioye Omogbegi, who is a self-love activist. She's also a blogger and a speaker. She also has one of my favorite Instagrams of all time, and we'll get into why I love it in the episode. But I came across her Instagram, and I wanted her to be a guest on the podcast because I haven't heard the phrase self-love activist before. I also I'm not super confident in my own definition of self-love, so I wanted to talk to somebody who has a better handle on it than I do and who can communicate that to all of you as well. So we get into, you know, how she got started down a self-love activism path and what it means for her, and she also shares some really valuable resources for us to implement a self-love practice that we enjoy and are proud of. So I know you're going to love this episode. It is one of my favorites. Other than that, I hope everyone is well. I hope you are all staying safe and healthy. I hope we're all wearing our masks and washing our hands. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone in the Facebook group who was very supportive of me this week when I had to yell at someone on the internet. If you're in the Facebook group, you know what I'm referring to. But if you're not in the Facebook group because you do not have Facebook on purpose, first of all, I see you and I get it, believe me. But there was a post shared in the Facebook group this week that was appalling, and it hurt my eyes to read it, and I kind of couldn't let it slide. So I wrote kind of a rebuttal to that piece, and I will link it below so that you can figure out what I'm talking about. It'll be less abstract for you when you read it. But essentially, I don't like it when anyone gives lists of instructions to single women that are aimed at telling them what they have to do or what they have to change or what they have to fix if they ever want to be with somebody. I don't believe that. I think that you and I and all of us are worthy of love right now and that we don't need fixing. And so I had to essentially dig in and sort of debunk all of this this bullshit advice that was being thrown out into the world, because I really, it wasn't just that I disagreed with it, it was that I couldn't let it lie, because there's been too much of it for too long in the world. And I think you know this if you listen to this podcast. My work is about communicating to the single community, all of us, male, female, cis, trans, straight, gay, everybody, literally everyone. I want to tell everyone that whoever you are, wherever you are right now, today, you are completely worthy of love. You don't have to change or fix anything about yourself at all. And beyond that, all of the messages that we've received about single life and how horrible and shameful it is, they're all bullshit. They were a bullshit narrative from the start. Single life is amazing, and there is so much to love about it. And loving this single life doesn't mean that you've sworn off relationships. There don't have to be these hard lines drawn for ourselves. If we're happy single, then that must mean we don't want a relationship. No, you get to define your own singlehood. I certainly define mine. And I just want people who are on their own to feel better about that, because the world really doesn't help us do that. We don't get a lot of messages that are positive about what we are. So I want to put more positive messages about us into the world. And I hope I am doing that every day. And certainly every Monday when I publish this podcast of mine. Thank you guys for listening. To everyone who is a Patreon patron, thank you for being who you are and doing what you do. You are keeping this podcast functioning. For those who are not, this is an independent project of mine entirely. I do not get paid to make this podcast. And if you want to support my efforts in creating this podcast, you are welcome to become a patron. I will link to that below if you would like to check it out. It comes with a certain tiers come with a bonus episode of this podcast every month. It is a solo episode, and I answer 100% of the questions and topics that come in from patrons. And you're always welcome to send me emails and ideas at any time you want. You're also just welcome to email me about anything ever. My email address is asingleservingpodcast@gmail.com. Easy to remember. And I will write you back. So thank you to everyone for listening, for supporting the podcast, for reading my work, for sharing my work, just for being an incredible, incredible group of people that have come together to celebrate singlehood rather than try to figure out how to fix it as soon as possible, because I think we're done with that shit. So without further ado, I will play the episode for you with Femi. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you start following her on Instagram because she's amazing. And yeah, enjoy, you guys. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to my podcast. For everyone listening, I am speaking with Femi Olafioye Omogbeyi, who is a, for lack of a better way to put it, a ray of sunshine in my Instagram feed personally.
Thank you.
And I hope in many of yours, soon to be much more of yours, I hope. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Shani. I'm so excited to be here and have this conversation. I love also just like your podcast and what you're doing, because this is an important conversation to have. So I just wanted to like throw that in there at the beginning. Like,
thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I want to let everyone know, everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I connect with most of my guests through Twitter, because that's what I like to second screen while I'm watching Homeland. And this is a bit different. We connected because of Instagram, and I noticed in your bio, you refer to yourself as a self-love activist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I haven't seen that before. I love that phrasing. I obviously love the energy behind that title. And so that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because I find a lot of, and I'm sure you see this too, a lot of content around self-love floating out in the ether. And I'm not totally sure we know what it means. So I wanted to have someone well-versed speak to it on the podcast. So if you don't mind, please let everyone know a bit about you, just anything that you would want an audience of single people to know as we start our discussion together.
Sure. Yeah. So obviously, name is Femi Olafioye Omogbeyi. I am a self-love activist, like you just mentioned. I'm also a blogger and a speaker. Those are terms that people are more familiar with. I grew up in San Diego. Like, my background is just that I grew up in San Diego, not seeing myself represented really anywhere. Like, I consumed a lot of white-centered media. I also went to very affluent and privileged schools, which is great for my education, but also had mostly white people there because of the way that racism works. And so I just grew up with a lot of internalized hatred of myself that later I could name internalized racism. I didn't have that term at the time. And my turnaround came when I saw some, I mean, there were a couple of things, and we'll probably get into them more later, but I saw some Black Girl Beauty blogs, and it was the first time I saw myself like represented and centered. Like, and I wasn't like, me being the Black woman, they weren't like over-sexualized or the sidekick or the sassy best friend. They were just like themselves there being centered. And it was the first time that I was like, oh, if I think that these women are beautiful and they look like me, maybe I can be beautiful too, you know? And so that was the beginning of that turnaround. I started therapy shortly after that. It was like my early mid-20s. And then when I got to the business end of it, I mean, like, I was in a job I hated. I was just feeling like I was wasting my life. Like, I was like, I'm watching Netflix at work. We don't have to talk about what I was doing, but I was watching Netflix at work. It was a wild job. I'm coming home and I'm watching Netflix. I'm in my mid-20s. Like, it feels like I'm wasting my life, you know? And my therapist was the one that was like, I mean, she had told me to start a blog earlier, like a couple of years before. She just suggested it. She's like, you have an interesting voice. Why don't you start a blog? And I was like, sure. But I was like, I was thinking that something would happen from that magically, you know, and it didn't, obviously, because that's not how that works. So when I was in this place of struggling about my job, my therapist was like, you have a second job, you're just half-assing it. And I was like, you're correct. That's exactly right. So I was like, okay, let's hire a career coach. Let's like do this. So probably at the end of 2017, I realized I had like what my message was, you know what I mean? This like story of coming out of deep self-hatred into practicing like radical self-love. Also that being centered on like are being speaking to people's experiences, women's experiences who are Black, who have been in mostly white spaces and grew up in mostly white spaces. And just like continuing to preach that as a tool of like undoing systems of oppression. You know what I mean? Like doing my own undoing of my internalized system of oppression that I'd created for myself because I was taught that. And yeah, so that's like what I've been doing. That's like been my angle like since then.
I love that. I also, while you were speaking about the first time that you found Black beauty bloggers, the quote in my head, and I cannot remember the name of the first person to say it, but we cannot become what we cannot see.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. felt really relevant in that moment. And I'm very grateful that you're doing the work that you're doing because you are furthering it. You are showing more that wasn't being shown prior. So thank 100%. You for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's my whole thing is I'm like, I want to be the representation that I didn't have.
Right.
You know what I mean? That other women can grow up or even as adults can be like, oh, I see myself represented. You know what I mean? I see myself. And so I can do this thing. I can love myself. I can expand. I can take up space, all of that stuff.
I'm doing something very similar, just in a completely different vein. I was very tired of only seeing sad sack creative work for single women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was just feeding my own self-hatred. It was just reminding me how much of a failure I was and how just lacking I was. And the lack was so heavy that I was ignoring everything I already had.
Yeah.
That'll waste your 20s too.
It sure will. And it'll also keep you, I mean, like I'm sure we'll get into it, but I'm like, it'll also keep you from attracting a partner. You know what I mean? Like if you're walking around sad and desperate, I hate that word, that feels like so condescending.
It's okay. It's you know what I mean? Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're walking around like sad and thinking that you're lacking, internalizing this desperation, you're not desperate, but you're internalizing this desperation. Like no one wants to be living life alongside that person. You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't work that way. So anyway.
Absolutely not. It doesn't. And there's this bad narrative out there about singles that I've found that's like, somehow we've been fed that if you become happy and whole and valid in your single existence, that somehow communicates to the universe that you don't want a boyfriend. Like it's just going to pass you over and like not give you somebody, when I consider it to be just the opposite. I think joy and happiness and living a full life just pulls in more of the same. Uh-huh. But anyway, we will get there. We will absolutely get there. Before we do, tell everybody what a self-love activist is and how you came to do like what you're doing right now of the moment. Like I'm speaking specifically of your Instagrams, that every time I see them, I just feel a little bit calmer than I did the moment before I saw them.
Oh, I love that. Wow, that feels really good. So self-love activist, like I kind of touched on it just now in my previous answer, but it's basically using the tool of self-love to dismantle systems of oppression, right? So it's like my target audience is Black women. Me being a Black woman, I'm like, it is a radical act for me to love myself. You know what I mean? For me to accept myself, for me to experience joy, for me to expand, for me to take up space, for me to either create my own business or excel in my chosen career path. Like, it is radical. That is a political statement. You know what I mean? And it's a bummer that it's like that, but it is. So in my mind, a self-love activist, at least like the way that I practice it, is like someone who I practice self-love, but not with the intent of just making myself feel good. You know what I mean? It's not just about me. And I do believe that we're all connected. And so like you taking care of yourself is also you taking care of other people, and like that works together. But yeah, like I think that being a self-love activist is being like, I am taking care of myself as a Black woman, and that is in turn dismantling the patriarchy and white supremacy, you know, and I am encouraging other women to do that as well. And then as far as how I got here, I mean, like, it's a process, obviously. Like it's, everything is a process. It took some time, especially specifically speaking to my Instagram. It took me a long time to figure out, and I think I'm still figuring it out, but to like get to my formula, you know what I mean? Like it was like, I've always known that I've loved the colors pink, teal, purple, and yellow. Like those are my favorite colors. I was heavy on pink for a while. And then one of my career coaches was like, hey, people really like it when you wear yellow. So I'm like, you're right. Let's do that. Like, you know, and then it's like, people really like it when you're smiling. Okay, let's do that. You know? And so it's like, and then I think I was like doing a photo shoot with one of my other friends who has a blog. And she just offhandedly was like, you know what you could do is like, kind of make it like a gallery, grid instead of like single pictures, you know, because we had taken like a shit ton of pictures that day, and I was like, I don't know how to post all of these at the same time. She's like, just dump 10 at a time, like each day for the same like week or something, you know. And so that's how we came to the format that I have right now. So it's like a lot of trial and error. I definitely used to, like, if you look, I deleted all my old Instagram posts, which is also a tip for anyone who's trying to like do Instagram right now. Don't be afraid to delete old posts and like curate your feed. It'll work. But there were a bunch of old posts I had that were like the wrong filter. I used to be really afraid, maybe isn't the right word, but nervous about sharing pictures of myself, like my face. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, it's going to look so self-centered if it's just me, 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 me all over the page. I got over that, you know? So like, but yeah, like I feel like what I also come back to with my Instagram often, especially when I'm in dark places where it feels like I don't have anything to say that's uplifting, is like, what would help you right now? Like my last, I think my last post, maybe the one before, was on Monday, where I woke up and I was like, I don't want to do this day. I just don't want to do it. Like, I just want it to collapse on itself. We'll try again tomorrow, you know?
Oh, yeah, and you can reject a day if you want to. You don't have to do them all.
100%. 100%. And that's what I'm finding, is that like there, you can reject a lot of days over the course of your life, like, and still make it where you need to be. You know, like
that is entirely your first Instagram quote. I'm sorry, but that's how about
it. Yeah, that's it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, no, but I was like, I think I ended up posting like, just show up. Like, there's courage in showing up, you know. And it's like talking to myself as I'm talking to other people who might also be going through like not wanting to live this day or week or like whatever, you know? So it's a process.
And your posts really have become kind of like a color therapy moment in a way. Mm-hmm. Not my personal feed of stuff that I post, but what I have curated to see flow through my feed is very muted. They tend to be very Parisian blues and grays and beiges and whatnot, because I have found them very calming palettes in the past.
Yeah.
And in fact, if I'm super anxious, I will only look through my, I call it my expansion collection that I've curated, which is just Paris in the rain, which is just super calm. Oh,
I love it.
It's just very gentle. But you do need those pops of just energy and brightness to just like liven up. And it's whatever it means that we're taking this in through digital sources. I don't care. This is the world we live in. I love it. And I want to take it in.
Yeah,
completely. There's an amazing creator and podcaster now named Akila Hughes, who for a while on her Instagram, she would have sections of her Instagram that were all the same color. So for like months, it would be just just red.
Yeah.
And I was always so excited to see how she would fold the color into her next photo. Because sometimes it's like, where do you get orange?
Yeah.
Orange.
Yeah.
It was a delight to see her do that. But anyway, yeah, it's like sometimes you just need visual food as much as you need any other kind. To set the stage for everybody a little bit, can you let us know where you find yourself being socially distant these days?
Right. Yes. I'm in San Diego, in my apartment, and you might find me at a park by myself reading or journaling, but just all here.
Excellent. Actually, the question that we got from my podcast audience was also from someone who lives in San Diego, who was super excited that I was talking to somebody who is based there. So,
oh, fine.
Hello, hey, the lovely lady that asked that question.
Yes.
So the next, like, sort of a groundwork question I will ask is, are you single? And what has your sort of high level experience with singlehood been?
Yes, I am single. High level experience. It's been long. It's been a long time. I feel like I was listening to another podcast on singleness where someone mentioned, like, this is the longest thing I've done. And I resonated with that. It's like, this is the longest thing I've done, you know? I think that it's gone through so many different iterations, or I've felt like so many different ways about it. You know what I mean? Like, I think there have been times when I have been devastated by it. There have been times where I've been energized by it. There have been times where I've been inspired by it. There's been times when I've been tired of it. Often that happens, like being tired of it, you know? And so I think that overall, though, I hate this too. This is like such a cliche. I'm going to say something, I'm going to directly, like, not counter it, but just like follow, go more in depth with it. I have learned a lot about myself, like, mm-hmm. in singleness, and I don't want anyone who's single listening right now to let someone tell them that, like, that, you know what I mean? Like, that is like a, you should be grateful for that, and that you can't learn about yourself while you're in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes people are like, well, at least you're getting to learn about yourself. And it's like, well, I could also do this with someone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would be a different process, but like, it would still be learning about yourself. So, but I have learned a lot about myself in singleness, and like narrowed down what I want, what I don't want, been practiced at setting boundaries, being able to hop, skip, and jump over men that are problematic. Like, also I should say cisgendered and heterosexual. So like my language reflects that. But yeah, so that is my high level singleness experience.
Amazing. I'm dying to know your astrology sign as well.
Oh yeah, I'm a Gemini.
I'm a Cancer, and I was like, she's got to be close to me. She's got to be.
Yes.
Outstanding. I've been getting more and more into expanding my knowledge of astrology beyond my own shit and trying to get to know maybe other people's things as well.
Yeah, I love that.
And I agree with you about the experiences of singlehood that are sometimes falsely attributed. There are, because if you falsely attribute, you can only learn about yourself alone. There is the false narrative that if you're in a relationship, you are good at relationships, or you are like a fully baked person, and then you deserve a relationship, which is not true. It's everything is the same, whether you're in a couple or not in a couple. And maybe oddly, I see being able to work on yourself, and I'm giving her air quotes, you guys can't see it. That whole thing of being able to do it alone, I view it as a bit of a luxury. My friends who are partnered and married and mothers, they're all doing the exact same thing I'm doing. They are just busier while they do it, with the like the emotional labor of being a part of a family and supporting a family and taking care of a family and all of that. My cat is very low maintenance from a personal growth standpoint, so I do consider that to be a luxury. Super broad question, but what is self-love?
I think self-love is like self-acceptance. Like, I picture it as coming alongside yourself in your story and like with your process. So like, I think when we think of loving someone else, it's like, what does that look like, right? Like, it's like you're with someone, you're not promising to fix everything for them because you can't, but you are promising to be present with them, give them space to like feel their feelings, giving them compassion, giving them grace, you know? So it's like, what does that look like for ourselves? It's the exact same thing. Like, being alongside yourself, giving yourself space, just like finding out, like, it's like learning about yourself. You know what I mean? Like, what works for you in terms of being able to process and exist and be and grow. Like for me, I love writing, for example, like journaling. So like part of my self-love practice is writing down my feelings when I feel them, or like giving myself space to be like, I just need to be in my room for a second, or like, I need to not talk to my friends for 2 weeks, or you know what I mean? Like I just need to let myself cry and like be with myself while I'm feeling these grieving feelings, you know? So yeah, I think it's just like being present for your life experience with grace and compassion.
Do you ever find that self-love involves unlearning things that you have learned?
100, yes. I'm sorry if I cut off the end of your question. I was excited about it. That's like half, if not like all of the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like so much of unlearning, I mean, the thing that jumps immediately to my mind is I was raised in the Christian church, and I did a podcast episode actually on toxic Christianity, because there was a lot of shit that I needed to unlearn in order to love myself that I was taught by the Christian church. For one, that Jesus is white. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like having a white Jesus, having a white image of God, even though he's invisible, but when we see him, he's white and bald and has a gray beard.
Where is the logic?
Where is it? I don't know. I had to unlearn things about my body. The fact that like my body existing could, quote, cause my brother to stumble. You know what I mean? And that it's my responsibility to cover up so that another dude in the youth group doesn't like have salacious thoughts about me later or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot, I had to unlearn things about like my sexuality, you know what I mean? And like my sexual self and my sexual desire. Like, I think a lot of the self-love process requires unlearning, because we were taught a lot of like really harmful things, let alone if you're like, I mean, again, like being like on the margin. So it's like me being a woman, being a Black woman, if you are queer, if you are disabled, like, you know what I mean? There's like so many areas where we've been taught shit things about people on the margins. And if you are on the margins, you were taught those things about yourself. And so you have to unlearn those things in order to love and accept yourself.
And we learned so much without even realizing we were being taught. I don't know if you went to one of the schools that, I certainly did. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, and the rule at school was your shorts had to fall below your fingertips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what they were teaching me without me realizing that I was being taught was that my body was distracting to boys. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, mm-hmm. it was my responsibility to not distract them, rather than a boy's responsibility to not get distracted.
Yes, to take responsibility for his own fucking mind and thought process. Yeah.
But you know, girls mature faster than boys. And that was what we were told too. Instead of boys, she's maturing faster than you. Keep up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why wasn't that what we, it's, there's so much right. unlearning. There's so much that you have absorbed like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm late to the party, because I probably didn't start really digging into this until about 35. I'm 38 mm-hmm. now, but mm-hmm. I'm glad I got here anyway. Like, late or not. So
yeah, for sure. Late's better than never. Is that the saying that people say? Okay.
It is now.
It is now. We'll take it. I love it. Yeah.
It's been shocking to me lately how much I have had to unlearn, and the anxiety around the first times you reteach yourself. Like the first time, especially during quarantine, that I sat down and read a book at 2 p.m. on a work day
mm-hmm.
was a very difficult moment. And mm-hmm. it's not difficult on its face, right? I'm just reading a book on the couch. How is that difficult? But it was almost impossible, because that was 20 minutes that I wasn't making money. And it felt so wrong and so bad, because I was just like raised on the hustle, like constantly. Yeah. You have to be keeping a roof over your head at every single second. And you don't have to do that.
Yeah. You don't, like, literally, like, first of all, that reminds me of just like even more unlearning to do with like capitalism, right? Like what we've been taught about what it means to be a human being, and like our work ethic, and like what we are worth being tied directly to how much money we make or are making at any given moment, right? And like, that just reminds me of like when I quit my like day job in October 2018, Wait, that was what I pictured. What?
We have a ridiculous amount of similarities. I also quit my day job in October of 2018 and became full-time freelance.
Shut up.
It's like, it's been freaking me out for like the last 24 minutes. I'm just not saying things. Like, we have a lot in common.
I love that. That's insane.
I cut you off so bad though. Please continue.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But yeah, so like that moment, I remember I had a plan for 4 months. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take out this loan to live. I'm going to go hard after my business for 4 months. I didn't know what was going to happen after 4 months. I thought I would die. You know what? Literally, I was like, if I'm not making money, like the same amount of money that I am, I'm just going to combust, like, you know? Yes. And so like, I think all of 2019 really was like a practice in me like reshifting. And I think that's still happening, like reshifting my mindset around work, around what is necessary. And when this whole COVID thing happened, I kind of felt like everyone was invited to what my experience has been for the last 18 months. Everyone was like, well, there's not really a structure to the day. Like, I can work, but I'm at home, and like, no one can really keep an eye on me. And like, I can like watch a movie in the middle of the day or read a book. And like, you know what I mean? And like, I have to wrestle with like, is that okay that I've done that, that I've ended my work day at 2:30, like, you know? And yeah, and this kind of ties back in with what I said earlier about how you can, I forgot how I said it, like waste a lot of days, throw a lot of days away and still make it to where you need to be. Like, yep. You don't need every single, I mean, you do because it like is your process, but it's like every single day does not need to look like you going ham after the thing that you're going for in order to get to the place where you need to be. It doesn't have to be that every day.
You don't have to maximize and optimize every single second of every single day. You can take far better care of yourself than the world has taught us to.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm.
And the world's going to keep spinning, by the way. It sure will. It'll reiterate to you. I found this. I don't know if you have, but I have found that if I read a book for 20 minutes on the couch, I can still pay rent at the end of the month. And I'm
wild.
It's wild.
Revolutionary. Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like, no disrespect to anyone who is legitimately having trouble paying rent right now. I know that is very much a reality and is very fucking scary, and none of us should have had to pay rent during the pandemic. I am just saying my truth, which is I've still been able to do it. I have still been able to earn a living while still being kind to myself. And I think that's maybe something that people should hear too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
When it comes to self-love and determining what our own practice around it is going to be, what are we missing? What do you think is inherent in the concept that is most difficult for people to grasp or put into practice?
Mm-hmm. I think it starts with believing that self-love is selfish. Like, I think that is the biggest barrier, because then you don't want to do anything else. Like, any sort of turning towards yourself to be like, oh, what might I like to do today? What might I be interested? What might I be feeling? Like, anything like that is going to be stopped. Because you're like, looking at myself is selfish. Like, this is narcissistic. This is whatever. So I think that's the first thing that we need to get around and dismantle, is the idea that self-love is selfish, because it's not. It's actually, like, I believe one of the most selfless things you can do is to love yourself, because the way that you love yourself and the way that you treat yourself is how you treat other people. And I think, like, I think a lot of us, especially like women, I think like people who have been socialized as women, believe that that's not true. Like, that they believe that like you can give and be really harsh and judgmental and short with yourself. And like, you're giving from a place of abundance and generosity and whatever. And like, for those people, I always say, like, I would challenge you to look at your motives when you're giving. If you're one of those people that's super judgmental with yourself, super short with yourself, but you find yourself constantly giving to other people, I want you to look at where that's coming from. I want you to look at what you're expecting subconsciously. Like, if the person doesn't reciprocate or receive what you've given them in the way that you thought they were going to, are you mad? Are you threatened? Are you jealous? You know what I mean? Are you like feeling negative emotions because you weren't giving out of like abundance, you were giving out of scarcity, you know?
Do you think in those moments people are giving to get back?
Yeah, I think I think so. And I think that gets hard sometimes too, because it's like, there are certain things that are expected, like just in human interaction, not necessarily, it's like, if I say hi to someone, I expect that they would say hi back, you know what I mean? And my expectation of that doesn't mean that I was like saying hi to them out of a malicious intent. It's just like, that's the way conversation happens, you know? So I do think that there's some of that. However, I wonder about people who like go out of their way to, I don't know, like do like an errand, or like, I'm just picturing like some, like something where it's like, I went out of my way, not asked, to do this thing for you. And let's say that person just gives them back a simple thank you, doesn't offer to do anything, doesn't, you know, give them anything, like whatever. In that situation, I'm like, you kind of have to just accept that, because they didn't ask you to do the thing, you offered out of, you know what I mean? And like, and if you're doing that from a place of generosity, then you'll be fine with just the thank you. But if you're doing that from a place of like, I'm expecting something, or I want to see myself as needed, like I want to feel needed, you know what I mean? Then it's like, that's not helpful for you or the other person, you know?
No,
so yeah. Yeah. It just like sours the relationship. So I feel like that's the first thing, is like realizing that self-love isn't selfish, that like you, the way that you give to yourself is the way that you give to other people. And so you need to practice first, like undoing that, like teasing those things apart, you know what I mean? So that you can give yourself love the way that you deserve to be loved.
There's also no prize for putting everyone over yourself.
Oh no. In fact, it's like the opposite of a prize. What's the opposite of a prize? A punishment? Like, it's like, it hurts you to put everyone above yourself.
100%. You cannot give from an empty cup. I heard that in a wedding speech at my best friend's wedding, and I have never forgotten it. You cannot mm-hmm. give from an empty cup. It's, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you have to have a sense of like fullness in yourself, and also like a kind of, I find that the more calm I am in giving, the more relaxed I am in giving of myself, and the more, the less I'm thinking about it, the less I have anxiety around it, the more I'm just like, oh, this is just a thing I did, the better I feel yeah. about giving and receiving. Like yes. there's,
yeah,
I think what I'm saying is like my anxiety and I are breaking up, because
good.
It has really just led every damn decision I have ever made until about, I would say 36 or 37 years old.
Yeah.
It was just a big, giant, like scaffold built yeah. on anxiety, and it's not mm-hmm. firm footing. It just mm-hmm.
no,
it really not isn't.
Purposefully. That's how it works.
So we're rebuilding.
I love it.
What, I love this question. And I think about this in a lot of different ways with a lot of different people that I speak to. I like hearing the best advice you have ever given and the best advice you have ever received. Yeah. And when I think about the best advice I've ever given, it's not like an arrogant thing. I'm just asking myself, what do I give over and over and over and over again?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the best advice I got was just that which I remembered, which kind of like knocked me over. But I would ask you the same thing. What is the best advice you've ever given and received around self-love or life in general? We can talk about anything here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, I think I want to say feel your feelings. Like, I think that's it. Or, well, it's along the same lines. There's a short poem by, I feel like it's Naira Wahid. And it's just one line, and it says, grieve so you can be free to feel something else. Oh. And that, like, do you know what I mean? Like, literally, that's it. That's it. That's it. So yeah, I think that's both the best advice I've ever received and given, because I feel like that's so necessary just to live your life. Like literally like that poem says, so you can be free to feel something else, like so that you can move on, so that you can find joy, so that you can let the thing go that's holding you. And it won't be released until you have felt it. Like I'm reading a book right now actually called It's Not Always Depression, because quarantine's been a mess and I'm trying to figure out what my feelings are. And she talks about the importance of feeling your feelings, and she talks about how it's like it's evolutionarily important for us to feel. Like, our feelings tell us about our environment. It tells us what is working, what's not working, what's safe, what's not safe. You know what I mean?
And like a diagnostic.
Yeah, exactly. And she talks about, I mean, again, this is the only book I've read about this, and this is the first place I've heard this, so I will take it with a grain of salt, but I also trust this woman. She seems smart. She said something about how, like, those feelings, like our feeling center, the core emotions that she calls them, are like somewhere in our brain where it's not possible for us to think through them, like, purposefully. Like, it's like we have to feel them in our bodies. So it's like, to process anger, I have to sit with the fire in my belly, or like my ears heating up, or like feeling like hotness behind my eyes. You know what I mean? Like, I have to just like be with that emotion and let it pass out, like let it subside. And so, yeah, I think that that's like extremely important, because if you don't feel your feelings, they just stack up, they don't go away. And I think that we think that they do, like if we give them enough time or distance or whatever, we'll just like bury them. But like then something comes that triggers that same situation that made you feel angry or sad or scared or whatever it was, and you're right back there. You know what I mean? That's how trauma works. So like
you relive. You just reliving.
Mm-hmm. And it, I feel like it intensifies every time, you know? So it's like feeling your feelings is the most important self-love thing, because it's the beginning of being able to feel and move and like actually live your life and not be like catatonic and paralyzed by your feelings.
I have to take that advice. Whenever I get super angry, I just write something mean on the internet. And you know what? Mean is the wrong word. Mean is the wrong word. I write something honest on the internet when I get angry. It happened this morning, so it's fresh on my mind. I read something that made me physically ill. About single women. And 99% of the time I can just sort of let it go and understand that I'm doing good work and I'm putting good work out into the world and I am doing what I can do. What I could do this morning was rip someone a new asshole, and I did.
I think that's good.
I thought it was too, and I stopped. Know if
they fit, but I think it's good.
I stopped feeling angry as soon as it was published, and as soon as it was out in the world, I wasn't angry anymore. But hearing you talk a couple seconds ago reminds me of how re-angry I get every time it happens, and I would like to start approaching offensive shit from a less angry place. And maybe that means the next time it happens, I need to not write about it, and I need to not try to fix it. I need to just try to feel it instead. And be a little bit more feely about it and process through it, perhaps. I mean, maybe. All sorts of personal discoveries during this discussion.
Yeah, good.
But seriously, that author needs to not.
Well, see, and that's the thing too, is I'm like, feel your feelings, but then like you might still want to write something. You know what I mean? Like you might still feel the need to like, no, this is something that needs to be corrected. I need to insert myself here in order to tell this person what the fuck is up, you know?
The woman said you can't be happy or healthy without a relationship. And I can't live behind that.
I don't understand. Okay.
I can't. And that's just one morsel off of a big old cake.
That's crazy.
I'll link to it, but I feel like if you're in the Facebook group, you definitely read what I wrote this morning because I was not shy at all.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was my morning. Anyway, I like sweat through my clothes. I had to put on this very train conductor chic jumpsuit that I'm wearing right now.
I love it. Yes.
Sometimes you buy random shit from Instagram ads and it works out. What are some of your favorite resources for those either embarking on a self-love journey or just trying to get better at this? What are some of the resources that you either use or recommend, or both?
Yeah. So I think it depends on how you take in information, right? That's the first question is what do I love? Do I like reading? Do I like listening to podcasts? Do I like writing? Do I, you know, what works for you? For me, I love all of those things. So I normally go to, I think also curating your social media to fit that is helpful. I saw this thing on Tumblr a while ago that was change the people you follow from actors and models to artists and creators and see how you feel, like see the change in how you feel. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I never actually like was following actors and models that much. Like, I just didn't occur to me. Honestly, I was like, oh, this is a poet that like writes beautiful things. Like, I want to follow more of her stuff, you know? And so I think once you start curating your social media feeds to like find more self-love, like centered things or like quotes or whatever, like that will help. I love the like books also. So one of my favorite books is The Art of Loving by Eric Fromm. And like, he talks about just love in general, how love manifests in a capitalistic society, the way that we've commodified human beings. And he goes through like the different kinds of love, like relationship love, romantic love, motherly love, fatherly love, like all of that, like religious love, like all that stuff. And I just thought that was a really interesting like deep dive on love. If you're kind of one of those people that wants to conceptualize like what is love about, and then how can I apply that to my life, you know? I think that is helpful. Love writing, buy yourself a journal. I think everybody should buy yourself a journal, even if it's like one of those journals that's like it has prompts for you, or you just write one line about the day for yourself. I always tell people to, like, if you're having trouble with journaling and like with like you get to the page and you're like, what do I even say? Like, start with one word that is a feeling that you're feeling right now. You know what I mean? Like, it could be bored, it could be apathetic, it could be confused, anything, like let it be whatever it is. And if you want, you can expound on that. And what I find is usually it just starts to flow out, you know, once you start that process.
That's so important right now too. Do you not think that there's heightened value to journaling during COVID? Because I feel like 20 years from now, we're going to want to remember what this was like. And if you have documentation or a scrapbook of some kind, we won't lose this. Like, we are sort of guardians of this time, the way that our grandparents were guardians of what was going on when they were young. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't want to let my future self down.
Yeah.
Mine's on the internet though, which doesn't feel safe. Is the internet still going to be around when we're 90?
Girl, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in August. I'm like, honestly, 11 a.m. is looking pretty blurry to me right now too. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I have no idea, but maybe.
Maybe. I really like that idea of starting with one word that feels so manageable.
Yes. Yeah, because I mean, I'm loquacious. I love words. I love talking. So I know that I can sit down to a journal and just write for pages and pages and pages, whatever. But not everybody is like that. And that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think when you take away the pressure of it needing to be perfect or it needing to be anything, really, just like let it be one thing. And that's why starting with a word works, because it's like, you've just written a word. That's all it is. You know what I mean? And if that's all you write for that day, then okay. You know,
we've forgotten how important low maintenance is. We want everything to be the biggest, the best, the strongest, outstanding. The most perfect. You know what? This is why Bob Ross is popular. That's what, do you know, he has his own, like 24/7 channel. NBC does it. It's like, it's just 24/7 Bob Ross. My stepfather just told me about this. He was delighted to find this.
I love it.
Just Bob Ross painting, because we need less.
Uh-huh.
We need a lot less. And just staring into somebody put paint on a canvas for an hour shouldn't be as comforting as it is, but it is, because it is just, it's less. It is gentle.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why like all of these like ASMR videos, or like, is it still a video when, you know, the videos that are like sped up of people painting or like putting the paint on the canvas and just kind of swirling it around?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, that's why that shit's so popular, because like, we're all just like, I just need to be really laser focused and present on like this one thing. And actually, I will say that's another like self-love thing that you can do if you're finding yourself, because one of the things about self-love is like being present with yourself, right? Just being with the moment. And so if you're finding yourself overwhelmed or just want to start, just like sit down in a quiet space and like start asking yourself questions about it. Like, what colors do I see? What things do I hear? What do I feel? Like, tactile is like very important. Like, literally go into depth. Like, I see a pink carpet with like, it's shag, it feels rough. You know what I mean? Like, as basic as you can make it, because you're right, we need less. We need less right now.
I would also like to point out that everything we've discussed as a resource so far, everything that you have brought up as a resource so far, is free.
Yes. Yes.
We do not need to be spending buckets of goopified money on self-care and self-love. There are free aspects of this that you can just master right now. Yes. Today.
Right now.
It's such a gift to be able to like acknowledge everything that you have the ability to do during a time when
it feels restricted. Oh. Yeah. And you feel very restricted. Mm-hmm. It's very important to do that, to remind yourself, I do have control over certain things. I do have options still, even though it feels like everything is shut down, because it is.
It is. It's also temporary. I find myself just muttering the word temporary to myself all the time. Like a year from now, we will be having a very different conversation. In fact, I would love to book you for 1 year from now so that we can have a very different kind of conversation, because isn't it like just optimistic to think about 1 year from now, and 1 year isn't that bad?
Bad? I think that you're right. It's hard for me to hold sometimes, but like I do try to remember, like, yeah, like you said, this is temporary. It can't always be like this. Like, I will get to go to a bar and drink with my friends again. Like, you know, like at some point I will get to dance on a dance floor again. Like, it's coming. It's coming,
and it's going to be safe when it comes, and we're not going to, I find so little satisfaction in the adjustments that have been made to kind of give us half of a life. Trash. I don't find that satisfying. It's trash. It doesn't feel good to me. It feels, and then there's the other part of me that like wants to the extent that I have the ability to be able to go to places that need the business. Then I'm there and I'm like, feels like half of real.
Yes. Yeah. I saw a meme actually. Sorry, not to like get us too off topic.
No,
but I saw a meme that was like a burning house, and it was like the house had like mostly burned down, but there was still fire in it or whatever. And the caption was, "The fire has passed its peak of burning. You're free to go back in now." And I was like, that's what it feels like our government is telling us. it's not burning as bad. Like, it's still on fire, but like, it's less than it was. Go back in.
The government is speaking with the coherence of Charlie Brown's mom. Yeah. There's just no real clarity or anything. And I digress.
Yeah, right.
One thing that is not free that I want to ask you about, how do you like your Nosolo shoes?
I love them.
You do?
I like really love them. Like literally when I like went to buckle them, I was like, bitch, is this what quality feels like? Like I literally texted one of my friends and I was like, I feel like an adult. And then all of a sudden felt shit about every other pair of shoes that I own. And I was like, you know what I mean? And I love my other shoes, but putting these on, I was like, oh, like this is what like being able to hand my children vintage shoes is going to feel like, you know what I mean? So anyway, I love them.
They are stunning. The color looks beautiful on you.
So good.
Absolutely gorgeous. I've had one pair of Nosolo shoes in my lifetime, and I've never written about them or discussed them ever because one of them was too small. But like the kind of small that I checked the size to make sure they sent me two of the same size shoe. So my left foot understands the quality of Nosolo and enjoys it very much. My right foot has no idea what Nosolo is like.
Oh no. Was it like a lot smaller? Was it like
a lot? A lot. And I tried everything under the sun to stretch it, to get it like professionally stretched. Don't spend your money on professional stretching. It does not work. Get another pair of shoes.
Okay, yeah.
But your shoes like re-piqued my interest in the Nosolo because they are open and my feet can work with that.
I will say the shoes that I got were the same size. So I think that could assuage you a little bit.
I do blame my feet because all of my toes are the exact same length except for the pinky. So I have essentially like a flipper going.
Sure.
And the shoes were slightly at a peak. So I feel like it might have had something to do with my ring toe being in the way. I don't know. But they are so quality, and they're like handmade, and that also tends to cause a little bit of adjustment, but they are, you're right, those are passed downable shoes.
Yes, they're quality shoes, and they, like, I think what caught me when I first like pitched to them to work with them was that they support women working, because I know that women working supports communities more than men working does. And I was like, y'all get it. Okay. Like, okay. So like, that's like probably one of my favorite things about them, other than obviously like the fact that the shoes are beautiful and like well-made.
Only good can come of women working. Actually, yeah. I write these shopping lists for single women all the time, because there aren't any shopping roundups designed specifically for single women and like products mm-hmm. that they can uniquely appreciate.
Yeah.
And it's more than just shit to help you open jars. There's all right. kinds of like really effective things in there. And one of my Facebook group members was looking for items other than what you could find on Amazon. And I'm an Amazon mm-hmm. affiliate because I earn a living. And sure. I was like, well, I need to look into this. This is a really good point. So now I'm an Etsy affiliate also. And you can very clearly see like
yeah.
who the maker is, where they're yeah. from. And there are literally countless, female makers on Etsy. So there's a lot more yeah. Etsy stuff on my list these days. And maybe I spent 2 hours of my morning shopping for linen dresses made by women. Maybe that's what I did. I don't know.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, no.
Did you order one?
No, because there are 8 in my cart, and I cannot really afford 8 $100 linen dresses today. I can afford one. But I can't pick. And you know what else they do? They're brilliant. I mean, they show you the dress style, and it's obviously like you can pick the style that you're the most drawn to, but then they give you 40 colors and you have to pick. And
that is Etsy. That is what they do. Yeah.
I can't pick the color of linen, and they're obviously making the dress for me or sending me like this one very specific, like what if I hate it?
Right.
It's
right.
too late.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's exactly my size to right. ship things to, whatever. It's y'all don't need to hear my problems. Anyway, you also have a podcast, and
I do.
I love talking to fellow podcasters who understand the idiosyncrasies of GarageBand.
yes.
When you create your podcast, I'm curious, what are some of the topics that you like to get into? What do you find yourself like gravitating toward content-wise? I obviously found a niche. I'm wondering like what you find yourself really leaning into.
Yeah. I love that question actually, because I was gonna like add my podcast to the list of self-love resources, because that is a topic that I talk about like most often. It's self-love, and it is dismantling systems of oppression, like overarching, like that's it, typically racism, and then like fun pop culture things. Like those are like kind of the three pillars, less so on the third one. So most of my episodes will like start with some like phenomenon or process or like something that I'm like wanting to work through. Like my first episode was on emotional availability and how to spot emotional availability in a potential partner, and how to stop choosing people who are emotionally unavailable, because that has been my Achilles heel in my dating process, is desiring men who were not available emotionally or otherwise. And also talking about how choosing emotionally available people is an act of self-love, right? So that's what I always bring it back to, is like, how does this tie into self-love? Same thing with the toxic Christianity. I was like, this is all the things that I've unlearned in my process of self-love. My like pop culture things, I think I've done one on The Bachelor, because that I do Bachelor recaps or like reaction videos when it's in season. At least I have. I don't know what's going to happen next, because they just chose a Black Bachelor, and I feel really sketch about that, but I also feel like I need to talk about it. So
aren't there so many moments where it's like there's this compulsion to address them and compulsion to speak about them, but isn't it also self-love to say no to that?
Yeah.
When you need to?
Well, so here's what I've like worked out for myself, is just realizing that this is my job, and I chose this as my job. You know what I mean? Like I chose to put myself on the front lines of feeling my feelings and then talking about them. So like, and I still do give myself space to like check out like when I need to, right? Like that is part of the process of self-love, like you were just saying. But when it, like there have been at least the last 3 seasons of The Bachelor where I was like, I'm not watching this shit. I'm not watching this shit. I'm not watching this shit. You know what I mean? But then I'm like, but A, it has an audience. Like, it's probably one of the most popular things that I do. And B, this is part of my work, is to put myself like out there, to create content that centers a Black woman speaking. Also, in my reaction videos of The Bachelor, I get to drop little nuggets about relationships and self-love and like the ways that this is toxic and the things that they're ignoring, the red flags that are coming up, that it's like, hey, if you're in this situation in your life, don't do what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like,
don't you wish you could talk to the women on The Bachelor? Like, the biggest red flag ever is the fact that you're on this show.
On The Bachelor. Like, I do often wish that I could talk to the woman on The Bachelor. I wish that I could talk to the men on The Bachelor too. I'm just like, everybody needs to sit down and listen to me. Like, that's how I feel.
Do you know what I would give to watch you give a lecture to everyone who has been or will be on The Bachelor? The only thing they could get me to watch that show, I can't force myself, the only thing that might do it, if every cast member on that show was like 35 or older, everybody, or 40 or older, or 50 or older, we started paying attention to some decades other than the 20s and how they interact and connect, and maybe, I don't know, an even number of men and women instead of like 20 women and one man, because that feels so fucking gross to me.
Anyway, yeah.
It's an interesting point that you make, though, about like not being able to speak to things in the space that we've chosen to work. It's hard. I got the biggest test the other day in this vein, because I got an email from Netflix about a television show that they're about to release. That is, I have a really big problem with dating shows. I don't know if I've made that clear, but
you don't like you don't like them.
I don't like single people being used for the entertainment of others. I don't like single people used as gladiators, because they will make single women do and grovel and whatever. Just, it's like, dance for me, single girl, dance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this show that I got an email about, I can't even believe I'm saying it out loud. It's a dating show for people with autism.
Okay.
And I don't think I can watch it. I don't know that it's safe for me to watch it for like my emotions and my mental health and like my level of seething rage. I don't know that I'm able to give myself to that, but it is a space I've chosen to work in, and it is a space that I've been commenting on for a long time. And I just have so little, I have so little understanding and experience with the autistic community that I don't know if I am the voice, but maybe that's the task. Maybe I need to speak with somebody who is in a similar space to mine, but who is also in the autistic community. Maybe that that's the bridge there.
Yeah, that could be an opportunity to talk to, because I'm like, on the one hand, representation, love that.
Right.
On the other hand, do I trust Netflix to handle this well? I don't know.
They haven't earned my trust. They might have had it a little, and then they ran Love is Blind. And
Wait, okay. Do you like dating around, though?
To be perfectly honest with you, I have not seen it, because again, I have a really hard time bringing myself to watch people on dates for the entertainment value of others. That is really, really painful for me to watch. But it is also a personal challenge of mine that I would like to get over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think that there's merit to that. I mean, obviously it's your feeling, so like it's beautiful and amazing. But like, I think that you have a point there, because it's like, I feel that sometimes with my friends who are in relationships, where it's like, they're like, ooh, tell me who you're dating. Tell me who's that guy. I'm like, I don't want to fucking tell you about it, because you just want, because like, you just want fun. You're just like, literally some of them have said to me, like, I'm so bored, like, being married for such and such years. Like, tell me what you're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do you know what I would fucking give to not have to deal with this right now? You know what I mean? Like, anyway, I understand what you're saying. I think it's trash to, like, wheel single people out in front of, like, literally as gladiators to be, like, dance, sing, like, cut your heart open so that we can see it.
Because they don't do it to married people, and they don't do it to people like, you would never in a million years see a competition show about people trying to adopt a baby or trying to get pregnant. And it's just, it would be considered vile, because it is vile, but it's never vile when it's done to single people.
For single people. I will say, though, about dating around, because I do love this show. And maybe this is my own thing, because like, one of my favorite things is being out when you used to be able to do that, going to bars and like happening upon a first or second date. You know what I mean? And just kind of
wish them well. You wish them well.
Yeah, exactly. Just to see how it's going. See, you know, try to guess like where they're at, whatever. And this show just packages that experience for you and puts it on your television. Like it's the most honest representation of dating that I've seen, like on a television show, where it's like, you're literally just watching these people, one person go on the same date essentially with like five different people. And it like, I found it affirming, even in just the repetitiveness of dating. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have the main person wear the same outfit for every date so they can like splice it. Mm-hmm. It's like really interesting. And you watch them ask the same question, like, so what do you do? And then someone answers. And then it's like, so what do you do? And it's like a different person answers than who the person was initially talking to. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, of course. Editing. And is it done respectfully?
I think so. Okay. I think it's done respectfully because there's it's very hands-off. Like the only editing is done to like show like, oh, it's this person. Oh, now it's this person. Oh, now it's, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. But there is no host. There's no narrator. There's no, like, it literally is just, you're just watching a date happen. And then at the end, you get to see like who they decided to go on the second date with. And that's it. That's it. Like, you know,
that actually sounds fairly gentle. I think maybe I might have a chance at not hurling something at the screen while watching. Yeah.
It feels very honest to me. Like, it feels like a very honest representation of how dating is. But,
well, that's comforting because I haven't seen too many others, to be honest. Yeah.
It's literally the only one I know. It's the only one I know.
Oh, the dating entertainment space is, mm-hmm. I wish they would call me. Like, I wish just one of them would call me and say, what kind of a show would make single people feel whole and valid while being entertained, that could also entertain those who are partnered? Mm-hmm. It could just be for everybody, but it wouldn't be like this degrading parade of singleness that makes you feel like you're pathetic if you end up single still at the end. Like,
right. Life. And I think that, sorry, not to whatever, but my last thing about dating around, I think that is also something I like about it, is that there's no like, will they be in a relationship? Will they not be in a relationship? It ends with a second date. Like, that's it, you know, and it ends like at the beginning of the second date. So that second date could go off the rails minutes later. You have no idea. All you know is that this person showed up to a second date and that's it. Like, you know, like there's like no pressure or like desired outcome, I guess. You know what I mean? Like there's no
like unpressured optimism.
Yes. Yeah.
It's comforting. I mean, you've sold me.
Yeah. We'll see. Tell me how you feel after you watch
it. I believe I'm going to, because now I have to watch it. I would like to end our show today with a quote of yours, actually, that I read on your website that I really liked, and then I emailed you immediately after. So this is what you wrote. You said, "We are not halves. We are not incomplete. We don't need a void filled. We can want a relationship, sure. It's okay to hold desire for something that's not yet manifested. It is not okay to think that because it hasn't manifested, you are lacking." I often find it difficult to explain to people what I do for a living. That's really close.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, it's the energy of what I try to do, which is why, like, you consume things, sometimes you have just a reaction to them, like that's the thing. That's something I'm drawn to. That very much is what I would like to help convey to single people who have a lot of incoming that's negative and that is not contributing to them loving themselves. In fact, it's probably pushing them back the other direction. So to read this and to be able to consume your Instagram and to feel a little bit more calm and comforted after is a joy for me. So thank you very much for that. And thank you for joining me on this podcast and sharing your time and your wisdom with me and this audience. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Like, can I just say one more thing, like as an encouragement?
Of course.
lovely. Cause I sometimes I write quotes like that and I just write things and later I'm like, damn, who said that? You know what I mean? Like, and I want to make it clear that like you can still, the part about holding the desire, I want to kind of emphasize that sometimes, because I think sometimes we can also feel bad as single people for wanting to be in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, it's like kind of what we were talking about before, where there's this pressure. Like, I do believe, like, yes, when you are like up and positive and feeling good about your life, you are like open to attracting like another person who whatever. But I don't want people to feel bad for not being there all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I want people who are single, who want to be in a relationship, to understand that it is hard. And it's not hard because you're single. It's hard because it's hard to want something that's not here. It could be anything. You know what I mean? Like, it could be any desire that you have that is unmet, that's difficult to hold. So I just want people to be okay with like there being days where you're just like not feeling it and you're not excited about it, and like remember and remind yourself that you can come out of it, that like you are not desperate, you are not lacking, like I mentioned, because of being single. You can change your mind about your singleness, and it's okay for you to work through your emotions to get to the place where you're like, okay, I'm remembering that I'm whole. I'm remembering that like sometimes this is exciting and sometimes this is fun, and there are beautiful parts to this, and there are parts of this that I will miss when I am in relationship. You know what I mean, too? So yeah, I just want to encourage people that like it's okay if you're feeling sad right now too. Like, you don't have to be up all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is, we are allowed flow. We are allowed to ebb and flow through things. I think, I don't know, you tell me, is self-love a destination that you arrive at, or is it more process oriented?
No, definitely process oriented. You guys can't see me. I like violently shook my head. It's definitely process oriented. Number one, yourself and your body is different from day to day. Like, day to day, your body changes. I loved, they used to say this in yoga all the time when we would like try to get into postures and things. Like, it's like, you might be able to do handstand one day, you might not be able to do handstand the next day. And we think that like progress is an upward straight line. And so it's like, oh, I'm getting better, I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer. And there was, I was just thinking about this moment in my own yoga practice where I'd been trying to get to handstand for like so long, and like just couldn't do it, felt like I was getting closer, couldn't do it, took yoga off for like 3 weeks. All of a sudden, first day back, I'm in it. And I was like, what is happening? And then the next day after that, couldn't do it at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's so like, so our bodies are changing every day, like how we feel is changing every day. And then on top of that, you as a person is changing all the time too. Like, you're not the same person that you will be in 5 years. You're gonna be different in 10 years, gonna be different in 20 years, in 30 years, like whatever. And so the process of self-love will always shift along with who yourself is. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to change because your relationship's going to change, your surroundings are going to change, your values will change. So yeah, I think it's a process, and I think it's very important to remember that it's a process, because us being in the society that we are in, very success oriented, very like checklist oriented, very like to-do list oriented, we like to check things off and we want to be like, I did it. I loved myself for the rest of time. I am done. And it's like, that's not the way that like human things go. Like, it's just constantly coming back to trying and trying and trying and practicing and practicing and practicing. So definitely a process. Please be gentle with yourself through it.
And we will. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everything. I mean, guys, play this on repeat as many times as you need
to. Do it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shani, so much for having me. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it.